This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah, amma ba'd. I received an email once, and as most of us receive a lot of emails, and it has a link attached. You wonder whether you should open this link or not. I decided to go ahead and open the link. It opened up a window, a close-up on a young man, just his face. And you hear the narrator says, Ya Abdullah, that was his name. If you knew then what you know now, what would you have done differently? The first word that came out of his mouth was amani, wishes. He had three, to be specific. The first wish, he said, atamanna an asjud lillahi sajda. He said, the first wish, that I would be able to prostrate to Allah once. And he said, and if I'm allowed or able to prostrate to Allah once again, or once more, that I wish I would die right there and then, when I'm prostrating to Allah, subhanahu jalla fi ula. The camera pulls back a bigger frame. You see that young man is a quadriplegic. He's actually sitting on a wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down. He's been in a car accident, and he can no longer bow down or prostrate to Allah. He said, what saddens me is that my friends come to me now and they feel sorry for me that I'm in this state. But they same friends never came to me once, said, I'm sorry that you're not praying. You wasted your life away. So let us take the salah. Because he said there's one verse in the Quran that scares me. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَتُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. The day on Judgment Day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come and be revealed in a way befitting His Majesty. We will be asked to prostrate and bow down to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. Some of us will not be able to. Could you imagine yourself, akhi and ukhti, on Judgment Day, where it's 50,000 years, the sun leaves its orbit, it comes close to our heads. Where the difference of opinions, where the word meal in Arabic is it a mile in distance, or is it only the span of a eyeliner? Whatever it is, it's going to be close, it's going to be hot, people will be drenched in the sweat. Some of us will even want to say, just throw me in the hellfire. I no longer want to wait for this day to start, just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start judging us. This intercession scam is just about what? This whole thing about intercession is not for us to stay away from the hellfire and go to heaven. It's just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start holding us accountable. He's on that day, some people will not be able to bow down or prostrate to Allah. Could you imagine? Everyone is bowing down or prostrating to Allah, and you standing? It says, يُحَالُ ظُهُورَهُمْ إِلَى نُحَاسِ. Your back will be solid copper. You will not be able to bow down. You know who these guys are? Those who did not bow down or prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula in this dunya, in this life, when they had the time, they had the health, the wealth, no excuse. So if you did not prostrate down to Allah in this life, you will not be able to prostrate to Allah on Judgment Day. Imagine yourself, akhi, on that day. On that day, as the Imam Jazallah Anna Khaira said, it is the first thing that you will be asked about. There are two narrations of the hadith. The first thing that you will be asked about is the salah. Another narration says the first thing that you will be asked about is that bloodshed, ad-dima'. So the opinions are the first thing that is the rights of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula is the salah. Then the rights of al-ibad. The rights of the creation with the bloodshed. So let us think about the one that we are held accountable for personally. The scholars say that it is a physical ibadah that nobody will ever be able to do on your behalf. Even though some of the ibadat, the acts of worship, somebody can do it on your behalf even after you die. Somebody can make up your hajj if you die and you have not made it. Or even pay zakah on your behalf after you died. Or even make up your siyam. But can somebody pray on your behalf after you die? No. It is the only ibadah, it is the only act of worship that you physically have to do it. What if I don't, akhi? Let's talk about the consequences of both, or the reward. Wa'd wa wa'id. The reward you will get and the warning. Imagine yourself, akhi and ukhti. Go into Abu Hanifa al-Nu'man, rahmatullahi alayhi. And he said, I finished the Quran in 3 days. He says, go back and read it as if I'm hearing you. He says, it took me 3 weeks. He says, go back and read it as if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening to you. He says, it took me 3 months. He says, go back and read Quran like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to you. He says, I could not even get over the Fatiha. Because when we're talking about the salah, akhi, you want to think that you're talking to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. As if this Quran is revealed specifically for you. Allah is talking to you. All the awamir and nawahi is all the commands and the prohibitions is specifically for you, not anybody else. That's why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu an as-sahaba ajma'in, he says, when we heard, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, oh you believe, kana amru yu'maru bihi aw nahyunha an. It is a command that will be ordained upon us, or a prohibition that will be forbidden to do. We'll talk briefly about how you perform the salah and the most important part of the salah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. We'll talk about khushu' and see how Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula looks at us. That He looks at our bodies, He looks at your hearts. So where does your heart, where is it linked when you pray, akhi and ukhti? Is it where the shopping list is? I'm solving all my problems in the prayer. Most of us do. There is a story about a man that was praying about it behind an imam that was very tough, a tough imam. Nobody can touch this imam. No mess with him. No mess with the imam. Mashallah, Allah protect him. So if a man makes a mistake, nobody comes to tell him because he's very harsh. So this man was outside from that city and he came to pray behind this imam. And the imam forgot. He only made like 3 rak'at instead of 4. And when he made taslim, this outsider says, "Ya imam, you know, come up, do one more rak'ah and make sujood lahu." He goes, "No, I did not make a mistake." He goes, no. We only prayed 3, not 4. He goes, "How do you know that?" He says, "You see, I have 4 stores. For the first rak'ah, I thought of how to organize and market the first store. The second rak'ah, I also looked in the second store. And the third rak'ah, I never got to the fourth store." Now, look at the beauty about it. The khushu'. Some of the righteous scholars says, when he was asked, "How do you attain khushu'?" He said, "When I say Allahu Akbar, I mean it." So let us from now on derive the ahkam now. Let us change from now on. Because we build our talks upon 2 things, ilm and amal. We call these twins of faith, knowledge and action. So you cannot come to this room, akhi and ukhti, expecting when you walk out of that room to be the same. You can't. You've wasted your time. It's all about change. It's all about improving ourselves. So we learn something, we implement it inshallah. So from now on, when you say Allahu Akbar, you know what that mean? What does it mean? What does Allahu Akbar mean, akhi? It means Allah is greater, literally translated. Of course, Allah is the greatest, but it means Allah is greater than anything else. So let me put you to the test before you actually go on. How many of us hear this call? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You hear the caller saying, "Allah is greater, Allah is greater." If I go into that in the south, it's another lecture on its own. But just we'll take what we have here for now. Allah is greater. And some of us do what? Watching that movie, or that soccer game, or the cricket game. And you hear the caller saying, "Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater, akhi." What does it mean? Greater than your spouse, greater than your children, greater than your boss, greater than everything else, all the bills, greater than that movie you want to watch, greater than that game you want to watch. But of course, shaitan will not leave you. He says, "The movie you're watching is a Bollywood movie, man. It's not just any movie. Because that boy loves a girl, and the father, the villain, does not want him to get married. So they have to run, elope, and it's so romantic, and you get involved. And you're cheering for them now. Run, girl, run. It's so romantic. You go, girl. Marry this guy. He's the love of your life." Or, "I'm cheering for my country, man. Isn't it from Islam? حب الوطن من الدين. Hadith موضوع. لا أصل له. It's fabricated. باطل. It's not a hadith." So now, I taught my kids something I'm hoping that I share with you. As soon as you hear Allahu Akbar, they go like this with their hand. Whatever remote control they have, whatever pen they have, they let go. Where do we get this from? It comes from a Sahabi Jalil radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He had an axe in his hand. As he was chopping the wood, he heard Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the call of prayer. What did he do? He actually went like that. He let go the hand. And he said something. Tuktab bi sawad al-ayn. Should be written with a gold leaf. He says, "La burika fi tarqatin nudiya alayha as-salah." That strike, that hit, it is not blessed once the caller of prayer calls upon it. So from now on, think, if you hear Allahu Akbar, whatever you do after that is not blessed. Shaitan will come and actually remind you of things. كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان تقليلان في الميزان قريبتان للرحمن سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان ربي العظيم. He will teach you about things, about to do dhikr. He says, "Quran, read Quran." Yeah, I don't say alif, lam, mim is harf, but alif and harf, lam and harf, mim harf. For every letter you get 10 hasanat. He will teach you that. Why? It's called mujibat al-waqt. It's a lesser degree because you're supposed to pray on time. That's the highest level. So you think when you pray on time, it's like you're depositing the biggest deposit in the bank. The later you leave it, the less deposit you pay in the bank. So he's trying to get you less hasanat. So he's trying to derail you, to keep the attention away from you. So now, as soon as you hear it, from now on, you let go whatever it is. So that man says, when you hear Allahu Akbar, you mean it. Nothing is greater than Allah. So if you want to know where you stand with Allah, look where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed you. إِنْ أَرَبْتَ أَنْ تَعْرَفْ مَقَامَكَ فَانْظُرْ فِي مَا أَقَامَكَ. If you want to know your status in the sight of Allah, look where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed you when it comes to the deen. Does Allah come first? Or does Allah come manana? When I have time, man. Places to go, things to do, people to see. I'm busy. I got some stuff to look after. Right? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first, that means you come first to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi ula. When you hear the word Allahu Akbar, that means Allah is greater than whatever it is that you have to do. You will know right there and then what you're made of. Wallahi, you will know right there and then who you are. You can't fool yourself, at least. You can fool people. Certainly you cannot fool Allah. That's the first thing he said. When you say Allahu Akbar, you mean it. Nothing is greater than Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula at this time. At all times, but specifically in the salah. And he says, as if you see the Kaaba. And you imagine the sins that you've committed. We don't despair of Allah's mercy, of course. But at least at this time, you're thinking of the sins you've committed. And it's surrounding you as it's coming down on you to destroy you. And this is your last chance to ask Allah for repentance for these sins and forgiveness. Because when you recite the Fatiha, you recite it, like I mentioned. You're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. You understand salah comes from sila. It is a connection. And it's also a prayer, or a supplication, or rahmah. All that under the definition of salah. And he said, imagine that you are on the Sirat. You're standing on the Sirat. The path that we will all have to cross over on Judgment Day. Beneath it is the hellfire. One step out of line, you're all fallen in the hellfire. It says, as if Malak al-Maut, the angel of death, is right behind you. As an arrow pointed to your back, he can let go anytime. This could be your last prayer. Let's be honest. If you know for sure that this is your last prayer, how will you perform it? Most of us do the American Expressway. You know that one. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, you're out of there, right? Most of us. And khushu', yeah, oh yeah. Seriously, yeah. Concentration, yeah. No riya, no showing off, of course. Sincerity, yeah. When you come to the masjid, we pray the American Expressway. Allahu Akbar. Then you hear that. Door opens. Somebody's coming to the masjid. And instead of Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, now you go Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And when you're always by yourself, you say Qul Wallahu Ahad, right? But when in front of people, it has to be from Baqarah or Ali Imran or Nisa, right? يا أيها الذين آمنوا take your time. So people behind you say, wow, mashallah, khushu', that is amazing. How does the brother do it? And you can hear him. And you turn around and say, and I'm fasting too. This is the khushu' we're talking about, akhi? No. He says, as if the Malakul Maut, the angel of death, is right behind you. You can take your soul at any time. Imagine, pray every prayer as if it's your last prayer. The hellfire is right beneath you. It is above all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches over you. Could you imagine? As the Imam Jazallah Khairan says, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Arihna biha ya Bilal. He did not say Arihna minha. He says Arihna biha. Give us comfort in prayer, ya Bilal. Ju'lat qurrata ayni fi salah. The apple of my eye. The pleasure in this dunya. Amaya says, Inna salah. Amazing, wallahi. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu an Al Bayt al Athar, he used to shake. Do you remember that? Do you know when he used to shake? He used to actually tremble when he was making wudu. Not praying. When he was making wudu, he used to shake. When he was asked why? Why are you shaking when you're making wudu? Is Atadri ba'da qaleel aqif amama man? He says, do you understand after a few minutes after I finish my wudu, in front of whom I'm going to be standing? Could you imagine, akhi and ukhti? A sergeant, a drill sergeant. You don't even have the audacity to look at the eyeball of the drill sergeant. You have to look like this. You don't talk back, you don't move, you don't do anything. Could you imagine standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, the creator of the heavens and the earth? When Jibreel alayhi salam is described with 600 wings that covers the horizon from the east and the west. And when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him at the Isra and Mi'raj, the ascension and the night journey, he looked at him and he could not exceed a certain thing, a position or a place. And he was concerned when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him. He says, you see me in that situation. Could you imagine Israfil? Israfil is the biggest. As one narration says, from the foot to the knees like the heavens and the earth. From the knee to the hip and so on. And to the shoulders and. He's that beyond our imagination. And since he was created, he has 1 foot forward, 1 foot back, holding on to the trumpet. He has not blinked an eye since he was created, fearing to miss the command of Allah subhanahu jalla fi ula to blow in the trumpet, hence ending world as we know it. And we're standing in front of Allah, akhi and ukhti. What are we doing? Checking this out. Have you seen this before? Or you get a phone call in prayer, just checking if it's important or not. And if the imam takes a bit of time, and you start, you know, we don't have a problem with some people when we talk or people go like this, but we have a problem when they go like that. Is it dead or? I understand, of course, the imam has to. Well, not, it's not our topic, but it's again something that I'm going to share with you. Alaykum salam. One man just became guided. He was not on the straight path. He just became guided recently, and he doesn't know much. So the first rak'ah, and the imam recited Al-Baqarah. Could be Taraweeh or whatever it is. So it was very long. So the man heard Al-Baqarah and he wanted to get away. So the second rak'ah, the imam recited Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashab al-fil. Says Al-Fil, the elephant, and the elephant is bigger than the Baqarah. This has to also be bigger than the Baqarah. So he ran away, not knowing what's recited. Not knowing what it is. Amazing. So let us come back to inshallah Quran and Sunnah and find out what it is. Of course, I'm going to go through quickly inshallah on the differences. I'm going to come up in the end with the excuses. why we're not praying. You know, most of us understand the basics of the salah. And I'm not going to go into details because we actually have a course about the salah. Al-Kawthar is a 2 full days. It tells you exactly what you need to know about the salah from A to Z. Everything you need to know and more. Everything you wanted to ask it, but you were afraid to ask. You wanted to know, but you were afraid. Now, I will go through some of the differences with the interest of having a little bit of unity. So we don't look at one another like the wolf looks at the sheep. We said that the most important part of the salah is the khushu'. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. That's at the verse again. The true prosperity of that true believers when they pray in khushu'. Concentration. Ponder and reflect about what you do and everything else. So most of us, when we say Allahu Akbar, you know, the strong hadith is to put your right hand on the top of the left. The rest is weak. Where to place it? So the brothers now, when they say Allahu Akbar, what happens? The first thing you look for in the salah, the brother next to you, where does he put his hand? Below the knee, Hanafi. Above the navel, Maliki. Shafi'i was smart. This is between the two, so he puts it on his navel. Above Ahmad, Hanbali. The Maliki, and I will talk about that. It's not there. It's not authentic. Not even the Muwatta. Imam Malik does not even put that hadith in his own Muwatta, where you place it down. So now we're looking. Where does the brother put his hand? We just lost the concentration. So the most important thing is to place it that way, inshallah. And now when you do ruku'ah, do you put it outside? Do you put it inside? What do you do, man? You look here? Do you look there? How's your back? You know, remember the hadith says you put a pot of water, it doesn't fall. Okay. When you come back up, do you raise your hand? Oh, you look at, is he raising his hand or not raising his hand? Okay, if he raises his hand, does he put it down or does he put it here? I'm not like you anymore, man. That's it. You're out of the herd. You raise your hand, I'm not talking to you anymore. These are sunan, ya akhi. This sunan. This is called hayat salah. And Allahu Akbar, if we go down, that's another battle, right? We're going down. Do you go down in your hands first or on your knees first? So brother doesn't go, he goes to a different masjid. Now he doesn't know whether these masjid here from Ahl al-Hadith or is Ahl al-Zahir or is it what kind of people are they? Right? So did they go on their hands first or knees first? And the brother is starting to go down slow and then he's starting to... Which one are you going down first, man? Relax, chill, man. Just concentrate, wallahi. You understand that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to go down his hand first. His father, Umar radiallahu anhu, used to go down his knees first. And that's the son and the father. And they did not quarrel about it. They didn't fight about it. It's acceptable, ya akhi. We're not going to go into difference of opinions, but you understand. And yeah, when you go down, of course, you start the prayer. Some of us, hazu bayn al-aqab, manakib wal-aqab. He says, okay, be straightened or equal or parallel. So some of the scholars says, is it between the heels and the shoulders? So they actually put the heels, the feet, parallel to your shoulder. That's according to some interpretation. Some of them says, it's this way, not that way. So one brother is adamant, and some of them says, you know what, I have to put my foot next to my brother's foot. That's it, that's their understanding of the hadith. So I've seen this before, and I heard some of the brothers talk about this. And we start watching this, the footsie thingy, right? One brother goes out like this, and the other brother brings his foot back in. And the other goes back a little further out, and the other brother brings it back in. So they're doing the funky chicken as they're praying, and they're raising the roof in the Macarena. I have no idea, are they praying or are they doing that? What kind of dance is this, man? Wallahi. And one brother, and I've heard this. He says, you know what? You know, next time the person brings his foot next to me, I'm going to put a needle in my toe, and I'm just going to poke him. Wallahi, it's true. These are true stories. And one other brother puts his foot down. That's it. You're not going anywhere. SubhanAllah. Or another, I've heard this one too. Another imam says, you know, if you see anybody moving their finger, that's another battle, right? If you move your finger, not move your finger. And the tashahud. He says, if you see anybody moving their finger, break it. I go, mashallah. Beautiful da'wah, wallahi. That's a fantastic way to bring the ummah together. So we fight over which even part of the wudu, which part of the head do we touch? Do we go only, is it sufficient for the top? Or is it only all the way back? Or is it the top and the outside and you go on? That means you cover the whole. We fight over which part do we touch our hair or head when it comes to wudu, and our enemies united to cut off our heads. You understand the message? You have a much bigger fish to fry. So are we going to fight over these things anymore? La wallah. There's a lot more to it than that. Now, let us talk about the excuses. Because that's most of the time the people say, my man, how you doing? You know, I don't have the cap thing to go on the side because they look so cool. I mean, unfortunately, it doesn't. It's rounded right around, so it doesn't matter where I turn it, it still looks the same. But you can imagine the brother from another mother having the cap on the side and the bling bling hanging, and the pants are so wide you can put another brother next to him. I don't see you in the masjid, akhi. You don't come pray? No, I pray. I pray. When, man? I mean, 5 times I pray here. I've never seen you before. No, no, no. You must be on drugs or something. I'm here. I'm here and there. I'm everywhere. You know, I'm around. Cool. It's cool. Hey, have you heard? If you don't pray, you're going to have to pray anyway. You understand that some of us come to the masjid once in the lifetime. When? When they pass away. When we pray janazah on them, right? Imagine. So, what's up? When people ask, why don't you pray? Ana musafir, yani. All your whole life is musafir? Yani, what? Where? Ya akhi kun fi dunya ghareeb, yani, aw aabir sabeel. That's what even Prophet Muhammad says, be in this life like a wayfarer. Okay, I'm on a wayfarer, man. I'm traveling all the time. Yeah, no. You know, it's amazing. Islam makes it easy for you. When you're traveling, you can combine or shorten. Every arubaiya, every four prayers, every four rak'at, you can make into two. Oh, yeah. I don't know a masjid. I said, that's cool. That's cool. You know, Prophet Muhammad says, I was given 6 characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given any other prophet and messenger before me. He says, جُعْلَتَ الْأَرْضَ لِيَ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. This whole earth was made to me to be a masjid and tahur, purification, source of purification. If there is no, so yeah, there's no water. You see, we haven't paid the bill. That's cool. You know, if you don't have water, you can just do tayammum, dry ablution. I don't know where the qibla is, man. Miss Compass thing is not working. That's okay. Do your best to find out where the qibla is and go ahead. فَإِنَّمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ. Whatever the direction you take after the ijtihad, take it, inshallah. So I can't stand up. Sit down. I can't sit down. Lie down. I can't lie down. Move your head. I can't move my head. Move your eyes. I can't move my eyes. Just think about it in your brain. I can't think about it. You're dead. Don't have to worry about it. So pray before you're dead. Moral story is. Imagine yourself now back on Judgment Day. Why didn't you pray? I was rich. I was rich. I had people do things for me. I had a servant and a servant for my servant, a secretar, a secretaire, a secretor. People, you know, pay my way. Says, because you were rich, you did not pray? He says, were you richer than Sulaiman alayhi salam? Nobody was richer than Sulaiman alayhi salam. Prophet, that's a king. He turned into precious metals and stones. Imagine. He says, and that his wealth did not deter him from not praying or devoting himself to the worship of Allah. So I want you to think of this every time that you come up with an excuse. Because what, you know, what's the excuse? You know, I'm too busy. I got a pinky. I have to comb my rabbit's hair. What? So I want you to hear this sound every time you hear Allahu Akbar in your sleep and you're not praying. Here comes one. Because remember, the scholar has a difference of opinions. If you don't pray in this life, that's beautiful, air conditioned. Nice room. You will pray anyway in the hereafter. Difference of opinion is whether they're going to pray in the hellfire or they're going to prostrate on the stone from the hellfire. So you're going to have to do it anyway. So why don't you do it just now? And I'll give you the way out, inshallah. Don't worry, don't panic. So, imagine this. You haven't prayed because, whatever it is, the reason. So every time you don't pray, I want you to hear that sound in the back of your mind. Going where? Waliyadhu billah, that nasty place. So the first man says, I'm rich, it didn't work, no excuse. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَ هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. Wealth did not come in my aid, my disposition, my posse. Did not help me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. Command verb. Command verb, man, it's an order. خُذُوهُ. Tell the angels to take him, dip him in the hellfire. Chain, 70,000, and so on. If I go into details on that, may Allah help us, oh Allah. So imagine that, it will not help you, akhi, in ukhti. Second man, why didn't you pray? He heard the first one said, I'm rich, it didn't work out. So he's what he's saying? I'm poor. I was so poor. How poor were you, dude? Because I was so poor. He says, أَأَنْتَ أَفْقَرْ مِنْ عِيسَى? Were you poorer than Isa alayhi salam? He used to say, this earth is my bed, the heaven is my cover. Did not deter him from devoting himself to worship me. What happens next? Just imagine that. Third one, why didn't you pray? I was such a good looking, I was a hunk. God's gift to women. I was walking on earth and man, sisters were just passing out as I was walking by. أَأَنْتَ أَنْظَرْ مِنْ يُوسُفْ? Were you more youthful and beautiful than Yusuf? Again, before you answer, please look at yourself in the mirror and have mercy and compassion on yourself. So, what happens? Again, moral of the story is, you will be granted wishes on Judgment Day. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتْ كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِنْ وَرَائِهُمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. He says, Ya Rabb, bring me back. I seen the light. I repent. I'm healed. I will pray. I see it now. Will you be granted that? It's only utterance, mere words, just lip service, right? So how much will you pay, akhi, in order for you to be given a chance to come back and pray? I only have 3 minutes left with you, so I'm going to seal it here, inshallah. The scholar says, if you are going to give up whatever it is in order for you to come back to this life, so you can do ta'amil salih, the most important part, al-ahd alladhi baynahu wa baynahu salah, the difference between us and them is the prayer. So if you give your يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه والكل امرئ منهم يومئذ يستقيم, you will run away from your family, your mother, everything, everybody. يود المجرم يفتدي. Again, you will find your whole tribe, your whole wealth, everything. You give up just to come back to this earth. Come back to life again. You know what the scholars say? أنت في هذه الأمنية. You are living this wish. Don't blow it. Remember when that man says, Amani, that's what I'm finishing with, what I started with. I wish, I wish, I wish. I'm going to give you now the cure, just in case. Man, I'm doomed. I'm toast. I haven't been praying. Relax. The mercy of Allah is greater than all. As a matter of fact, there's a beautiful glad tiding. In Surah Al-Furqan. Among the attributes of Ibad al-Rahman, may Allah make us among them, the slaves to Allah. He says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدُّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Ya Allah, what a beautiful verse. As all, of course. إِلَّا, except those who repent, believe, and do righteous deeds. They're in order, not to haphazard. They're in order for a reason. Except those who repent, believe, and do righteous deeds. Why? لِأَنَّ التَّوْبَةُ تُزِيدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَأَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يُعِينَكَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ. Because tawbah will increase your iman. And the proof of your iman is amal salih, righteous deeds. You understand, akhi? You can't tell me I believe with no actions and deeds. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا only وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. By time, indeed in that, human being in a state of loss. Except those who believe and do righteous deeds. Atf, both. So what do I do, man? I haven't been praying, I've been sleeping this and all that stuff. And some people tell you, oh, you've been sleeping for 20 years. Allah help you, man. That means you have to make up the prayers for 20 years. And to add on top of that is the sunan, and the nawafil, and qiyam al-layl. And all of a sudden, from doing absolutely nothing, everybody piles up and thinks, how can I do that? It's like a brother smoking and tomorrow you're going to run a marathon. Is that going to work? I know there are two opinions of the scholars. I go with the easier opinion. The easier opinion, akhi, is to pray, is to take a shower, ghusl, with the niyyah of tawbah. Just to cut to the chase. Because that takes a long time to explain. But just because of to respect your time, I'm going to finish with this, inshallah. Take a shower, no matter what. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you were, you did not kill 99 lives. No matter what you've done, ever, ever, never despair of the mercy of Allah. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرِ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. And is not abrogated by إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرَ أَيُشْتُكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرَ مَدُونَ ذَلِكَ مَا يَشَاءُ. A stronger opinion is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins, meaning in this dunya. Shirk is after, when you die, when you meet Him on Judgment Day. That is the one that does not forgive you. When you ascribe partners unto Him. So no matter what, akhi, Allah's mercy is greater than yours, whatever your sins are, as long as you have not committed shirk. So, the opinion I follow is the easier one, more practical. Take a shower with the niyyah of tawbah, ghusl, niyyah of tawbah. Pray to rak'at tawbah and start fresh. Because some of the opinions of the scholars, if you don't pray, you're not a Muslim. You want to take a chance on Judgment Day to find out if you're a Muslim or not? If you don't pray, akhi, you don't make wudu. And if you don't make wudu, how will Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam make intercession for you on Judgment Day? Because he will not know you. He will only know you from the illuminated parts of your body that you made wudu. It will become lit on Judgment Day. Ummati, ummati! This is from my ummah, I'll intercede for you. You understand, akhi? You know what's the conversation on Judgment Day? مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What brought you to Saqar? And Saqar is actually lower than Jahannam. What's the first answer? قالوا لم نكن من المصلين. Allahu Akbar. What brought you to the hellfire? Even lower than that, worse than Jahannam. The first thing they said, we were not amongst those who prayed. قالوا لم نكن من المصلين. You want to take a chance, akhi and ukhti? Is there something better than that? When you stand in front of Allah, you come out of it pure and clean again. You will get rewarded for every time you prayed in this dunya, in the hereafter. Who do you want to be your neighbor? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a price to pay. This salah is a down payment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ala to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallam ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in. Jazakum Allah khayran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Oh!